The DivaCast, number 84, March 8th, 2008. Buddy, I am Suzanne, a.k.a. the Diva Supreme.
Oh, my gosh.
She, you know, she takes, she abuses her position.
I know, I'm a little slap happy. Hey, everyone, we are five fun, fabulous 40-something friends. Well, we're not 40 of us here, but we're 40-something in age. And we just hang out and get together. But again, I'm Suzanne.
I'm Amy.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Sharon. And we believe inside every woman is a diva. And I think we need to take a little vote and maybe like X Suzanne off the microphone at the beginning of the show.
Maybe we need to switch around intros.
Yeah.
That would be different, wouldn't it?
No, please.
Start behaving.
I'll be really good.
Start behaving,
Don't send
Suzanne.
Me away. Don't send me in the corner.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Can I tell y'all?
Well, you just asked
us. Wait,
what?
Okay, answer. Yeah. Yeah. Enough about you. Let me tell you what I'm.
What?
It's
Sharon.
Been a long, long, long week.
Me too. Go ahead. Why was yours long, Sharon? Oh, let me tell you about mine.
No, okay. Sorry. Y'all, we need to do a show about this. Adolescents who lose their minds while they're adolescents. They have no common sense. They really have no.
What is
I'm
going
sorry.
On? Why? What happened?
What's going on with
Sharon.
Your children?
Yeah, tell us all.
Okay, my son, he's 15, and we have been on him about carrying more work, doing more around the house, not waiting for us to tell him to do every little thing. So the other night, I'm not home, and he goes, it's about 9:30, he goes downstairs to the basement, wakes up my husband and says, "Dad, the dog needs to be walked, and I'm too tired to do it."
Oh, I bet that went over well with Doug.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Doug said, at first he thought he was dreaming. So then he, whatever happened, I don't know who walked the dog, actually. But I know the next morning, my husband woke up and he said, our son needs to start going to bed now at 8:30 every night because he's obviously too tired.
Oh, gosh.
So he has been putting him to bed, making him go to bed at 8:30. So that's been the last three nights.
Oh, my gosh.
So the next day, Doug's talking to him. And he's like, okay, obviously you're too tired. You need to go to bed early. And my son replies, yeah, you're right. So I don't know what he's thinking. So I'm talking to him. I said, what are you thinking?
So now does he go to bed at 7:50?
So this morning, Doug and I wake up, we're walking the dog, it's about 8:30, and he says, I need to go home and wake up our son so I can put him back to bed. I mean, he is so mad at him, and I'm like, he's just, like, oblivious. Anyway, I know that's a long story, but
it's all good.
So I think we need to do a show about adolescents and how their minds just go away from them.
Well, you know, I'd like to hear from our listeners because so many of our listeners are moms. So leave us a voicemail or send us an email. Call us at 678-884-0524 and share your stories with us or just go to thedivacast.com and let us know what your stories are.
Email us, diva@thedivacast.com. So anyway.
So you have no therapy? You don't have any kind of professional advice for her?
Well, I don't want to give unsolicited advice.
She didn't.
Oh, good one.
She did not ask me.
That's good.
She was needing to vent.
I love that.
Carrie, tell us about your unsolicited advice.
Okay, this is the whole purpose of this show. The whole reason the show came about was that I received some unsolicited advice, but it's got a lot of components to it. But I was just venting. I was just sharing with it was my sister-in-law. And I love her and she loves me, but we've had a history of some challenging discussions. And I had said something to her about how I was having issues, having a hard time managing life, balancing work, life, kids, family, everything.
Which as working moms, we all
we do. She face, is not a working mom. Okay. And that is a whole nother topic that I'd like to cover at some point, because I think that it's huge between women, you know, the decisions that we make and how we can get competitive or make judgments on other people's choices when we have no idea what's going on in their lives. So that, I think, is why it kind of felt like a punch in the stomach when I got the response. So my unsolicited feedback for you, my love, your passion will be most appreciated and best felt in the world if you stop struggling and focus on those girls.
Okay, time out. This is a letter from your sister-in-law to you, Carrie. Is that right?
Yeah, I had just, I had emailed her and shared with her that I was having these struggles, and that's what she came back with. I assume that she did not mean it in a negative way, that she was trying to help me kind of navigate through what I was going through and come up with a solution. But the problem with email is that when she says focus on those girls, it implies in a way that I have been focusing on the girls.
Exactly.
And that's what really kind of, it felt like an actual punch in my stomach when I read it, because I was like, wow, you know, what the heck am I doing this for? Am I working full time 40 hours a week for my own career aspirations? No. You know, the reason I have this job is to help with financial burdens, which indirectly affects my children.
Right.
So that's why I was really kind of bummed out, you know, and I didn't want to get into a whole back and forth thing, defending myself. And the other part of it is I didn't want to pick up the phone and call my divas and go, listen to this and get that feedback of that was a horrible thing for her to say and all that stuff.
Right.
Because I realized, I'm like, you know, that felt like a punch in the stomach. So I need to kind of sit with it and figure out why I had such an extreme reaction to it. But that's a whole, in my opinion, it's a whole nother topic for us to talk about, you know, working moms and stay-at-home moms and the whole...
And the guilt involved in both of those situations,
you know? Right.
I think people have guilt when they work full-time or part-time or whatever. And you have guilt when you're staying home because you think you're not bringing in any money.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
and some women have the luxury, if you want to put that. I've been in the situation. I've been home with my kids until my youngest was in sixth grade just last year, you know? So I know how it is on that other side. But you can't make the assumption that women who work are doing it only for their sole selfish need to
buy new shoes or something, or
buy new shoes, or just
or
have that career.
Right.
And they don't. That doesn't mean they don't care about their kids. You know, it's. But anyway, it was the whole unsolicited advice thing that it's like, have you ever been in that situation where someone has offered up something like that? Where
I think it's really well. Have you talked to her about it?
Okay, let me just tell you what I had written in the previous note. I had, at the end of the previous note, I had said, I'm so glad we can accept one another and love each other right where we're at. We're all doing the best we can in this crazy whirlwind thing called life. Mm-hmm. And then I got her long response. And then all I could do is I wrote back in response, I can only say again. And I just cut and pasted that because
beautiful,
I
Carrie.
Just felt like, I'm like, man.
Well, she's
know?
Almost not hearing you then if she comes back with a really lengthy response.
She said to me, are we okay? Like, because I think she knew that that kind of response was kind of like, uh-oh. But I just, you know, and I love her and I just didn't want to go there. And it's really not, I don't need to feel right or wrong or, you know, any of it. It's just,
well, let me ask you, wait, can I just stop you and ask you, so you don't need to feel right or wrong. What do you need?
She's such a therapist, isn't she? I just think that it's a wake up call for women, all of us, to understand that you got to be careful what you're putting out there. It's your own stuff. It's her stuff. When she says to me, I'm not focusing on my girls. Because I am focusing on my girls.
Sure.
So for me to get into that back and forth thing of, well, this is why I'm working and da 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 da, it's like, you know what?
Well, and you shouldn't have to justify yourself to anybody, quite honestly.
Yeah, Sharon, that's a good point.
That's why I'm talking about on the DivaCast, because I think women, we do that. We have this dynamic of being competitive. And I think that it stems honestly from an insecurity in the decisions that we make. So if she's at home and she feels the need to
impose, because that's what she's doing.
Well,
she's
to give me that advice that I need to just quit my career, my dual career that
you,
I've got.
Do you think that that's really, I mean, is that specifically what she thought you should do, is to quit?
She said in the email, she talks about a friend of hers that went to a support group and voiced similar concerns. Scenario. And the feedback that she got back from this group of women. And so she said to me, the overwhelming feedback that she got, channel your passion into your mothering. The other stuff can wait. And, you know, she talked about, and I understand that, the seasons of life, women have to juggle career,
sure,
kids, all that. You know, I do not support having a kid in daycare 12 hours a day. Unless, you know, hey, you could be a single mom with a husband that passed away and you know, that's what you got to do to make it work. So,
right.
but I don't support that if it's just something that you want to do just because you don't want to be at home or you want a career just to have extra money. There's all different things, but you know, you just got to be sensitive. I think women have to be sensitive.
So that's really the bottom line. This is Suzanne, but that's really the bottom line then, isn't it? It's really about a sensitivity and being mindful of not providing unsolicited advice because you clearly just needed to vent. You're just saying a few things and maybe a much better response would be for her to have said something like, wow, I can really feel your struggle with this.
Well, and that's it. You know, we all have our times when we just want to vent.
Sure.
And then we have the times when we need to be called on our stuff. I really didn't feel like that was an appropriate time for me to be called on my stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't asking for a solution. I was just, you know, conveying that I'm having struggles. So
okay.
I think that what Suzanne said when I said, give Sharon advice, and you said she didn't ask, is a great, whatever you want to say, a great barometer. You know, don't offer it up or and without asking, do you want advice?
Or I guess another option would be is when somebody's potentially venting to you, a friend is venting to you or a sister is venting to you, then you might ask, so what are you doing here? Are you venting or do you want my input?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to do it.
Because, but then if I do that with my sisters, they're going to say, oh, no, we don't ever want your input.
Well, Amy, but you don't want their input either.
Well,
right?
It's hard. I think who are the primary people that give unsolicited advice? You know, it's either your really good friends, your diva sisters, or it's your family members.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel like they have the obligation.
Or the right
to provide that information to you. From my family standpoint, you know, I look at my two sisters, for instance. One sister is, a single parent. So she doesn't have a husband to kind of bounce off parenting stuff to, you know what I mean? But my sister doesn't have the ability to bounce off parenting ideas on a spouse. He passed away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think, well, she doesn't have that person. So I would like to give her more parenting advice, but we're very different in our parenting styles.
Ah.
So it's very touchy. And because I don't agree with some of the things that she does, and I'm sure she doesn't agree with some of the things that I do, you know?
Well, that's like my sister-in-law. We are so different. She lives out in Seattle. She's very liberal. She's homeschool, which is, and it's unschooling is the method. And, you know, we are so different on so many levels, and we've challenged each other and we've clashed. However, we're in some ways very, very much alike. And I really enjoy the conversations that we've had because it's helped me define myself more or refine myself. You know, it really has, but it's tough sometimes being in it,
sure.
You know, being in the muck of it. You know, we've gotten into these really, and you guys know, you've heard my
right.
stories about it. And I think it's cool that we've actually been able to kind of work through it and stay. I consider her a friend, you know, but it just kind of opened my eyes to just being more sensitive and just like, you know, gosh, I'm doing the best I can do. And just to be careful, because making those comments, it's like, man, you know, anyone tells you
yeah.
you're not focused on your kids, it's like, whoa.
Well, I think there's a couple of areas that really are tough for people. You know, one is if somebody gives you unsolicited advice about your kiddos, I mean, you've got to, that is such a tough topic, you know?
It's very tough. And especially, Amy, when you look at some of the things they do as a parent, or maybe they're not even a parent yet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We've all done that.
Yes. And then they give you advice. But I've seen that from my brother, Mark, who has given me parenting advice, and I look at him and I think, you don't have a relationship with your two children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're giving me advice?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little strange to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry, sweetie,
No. It's but yeah, my sister's done that too. My oldest sister, who's not a parent, she's given me advice. You know, and she deals in her career with kiddos and such,
right.
But oh my gosh, it's just so hard to take that sometimes.
I just
because you don't agree with it all the time.
No, of course not. And I'm just thinking of whenever I hear myself saying to somebody, whenever the word should is in the sentence, that's when I cringe at my own. I realize I'm giving somebody unsolicited advice, or maybe even it was solicited, But that word should almost be eliminated. Listen to me. I can't even say it. But, you know, whenever you say, oh, well, Carrie, you should do this, or Amy, you should do that.
Well, what you should do.
Right. And I think that should be a buzzword that we're all more sensitive to.
Okay. Well, I have a story of where I was the culprit. I was the one giving.
Sharon. Gosh.
Okay. I was the culprit.
Sharon.
I was providing advice. Now, honestly, I can say I don't recall if it was solicited or unsolicited.
It just was bad.
Well, it was a long time ago, and I had a good friend, and she'd been dating this guy for years, and I was telling her she needed to break it off because they weren't getting married, blah, blah, blah. So I go on and on and on about how they should break up. Well, run into her years later. She's married to the guy. They have kids. And I meet her mother-in-law. And we're talking. And my friend introduces me to the mother-in-law and says, I knew her from college, blah, blah, blah. And the mother-in-law says, is this the girl that tried to have you break up with Tommy?
Oh, my gosh. How embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What did you say?
What could I say? I mean, it was.
I was so wrong.
No, she said, and I still think she should.
Isn't that terrible? I mean, yeah, I was so embarrassed. And quite honestly, back then, I was 20-something years old. I wasn't married, but I just thought I knew it exactly.
Of course.
I knew it all, obviously, the guy. So anyway, needless to say, it was one of those moments.
And Sharon, you do know a lot. I like your advice.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd share that. So be careful when you do give unsolicited advice that it doesn't come back to bite you from the mother-in-law. So
I was just going to say, you know, that's something that it's drilled into our heads as therapists in graduate school. When you're learning the art of being a therapist and sitting with a client, so many times people, you know, they're coming to you in a very wounded place and very vulnerable. So many times a client will say to me, what should I do? What should I do? And it's so challenging, especially when you're a new therapist. Now I'm kind of over it, but initially, you want to be able to say, well, I think you need to leave that guy and do this and this and this. But you realize, oh, my gosh, they are the only expert on them. And it would be so arrogant of me to assume that I know better than they do what's best
for themselves. Suzanne, just have them call me.
Yeah.
Just have them call me.
Just I'll tell. Diva Sharon.
Sharon would be like Dr. Laura. You know how she was on the radio?
That comes back to, what do you do when you have a friend who comes to you and asks you for advice? What do you think? Should I stay or should I go? Talking about either a marriage or a relationship.
In my opinion, it's the same thing that Suzanne said, because as a friend therapist, because listen, I've had two different friends who have had marital problems. And I have said to one of my friends, you need a separation. You need to get out. You need to go. You can't live like this. And I got all into it, you know, and then she went back, you know, they reconciled, they were together. Then he did the same stuff again, told her to separate, you know, I got all into it. And I realized
that's
her journey. Yeah.
Right.
She
needs to go through it.
Right.
And so I love that you say, you're really the only person that knows, it's your life. You're the only one that knows all the intricacies of what's involved, you know.
Well, and even tells the person, if we have advice for someone, then we become the authority on them instead of them being the authority on them. And you really want them to reclaim their own power for their life.
Well, and they have to make the decision.
Of course they do.
They have to make the decision of, should I stay or should I go?
Can you imagine if you had run into that woman, your friend, and can you imagine if she said to you, I have never forgiven you because I left the man, the only man I ever loved. Can you imagine something? Can you imagine? Because that's truly, and now he married someone else and he's miserable and I'm miserable.
And we're having an affair.
Then I would have said, well, you're a dumbass for listening.
Sharon.
No, listen, what can I say?
No,
I was full of myself.
However, though, I just thought about the unsolicited advice I just gave less than 24 hours ago. I was having a conversation with my work associate. I consider her a friend, and she, you know, we've talked a number of times, and the same theme comes up with her mother, and you know, having the experience having that my dad has passed away and having some things that I, you know, considered talking to him about, and I decided not to talk to him about it. And then having him die and not having that opportunity.
And he died suddenly.
He died suddenly.
Yeah.
I said to her, you know, and I put all the little caveats ahead of it, you know, but I'm like, I've heard you say this a couple of times, and I just want to offer up to you that, you know, that song by John Mayer, say what you want to say or say what you need to say or whatever that
song.
Is that, you know, this is obviously something that is affecting you through adulthood. And, you know, you might want to have a conversation with her, because guess what? So many times there might be something you don't know, the reasons that she did this or that,
right.
You know, and if she passes away, you're never going to know. And so that's the advice I gave her yesterday. And
I like it.
Okay.
Well, and you're coming from a place of, you're not telling her what to do. You're just offering her insight into your personal experience. And maybe, I don't know, I think that's a little bit different.
I do too. I that feels different to me.
You're coming from a place of really wanting the best for her. And, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I really wanted the best for my friend too.
Leave us.
You dummy. What are you? Oh my gosh, you guys, I never forgot about us. Like, and of course, I had forgotten about our conversation, needless to say. So when the mom said
until
that,
until his mother's.
It took me a few minutes to like put it all back together. It's like, oh yeah. I mean, that hour I drilled in her that she needed to break up with him. Never mind.
It was only an hour though. It wasn't like weeks and weeks.
No, it was just over lunch one day.
Oh, that's
you know
not,
what's,
yes, that's
okay. You know what's the hardest advice to take, or the ones that you're so sensitive to, and the subtle nuances when you're like a first time mom.
Oh my gosh.
And you're so like, you don't know what the heck you're doing. And
right.
So people will say to you, you know, specifically your mom might say to you, well, do it this way or do it that way. And you just, you do it or you don't do it. You feel really defensive of the things that you did you have that?
Oh, of course. Oh my gosh. I remember being at a restaurant. It was one of the first times Robin and I went out after our son was born. And our son was, I think, 7 weeks old. And we were at a steakhouse. And the baby started to get fussy. And I'm trying to, you know, rock him and heat up a bottle to feed and blah, 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 of, you know, breast milk. Well, maybe that's too much information. But, you know, so there it is. But I remember this elderly woman walked by and she said, how old is your baby? And I said, oh, he's 7 weeks. And she said, he's way too young for you to have out in public.
Oh yeah.
And she really shamed me. And I thought,
oh,
I know. And I thought, really? 7 weeks? Really? He's, you know, and I thought, well, what if she's right?
I had my daughter at Six Flags at like 3 weeks old.
Going,
wow. Carrie. So I'm much worse than you.
And she had her on the roller coaster.
Yeah. I don't know why she was fussy that
but
day.
But I too got those. Oh my gosh, how old is she? You know, like, oh, it's my second kid. Leave me alone. She's fine. She survived.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, I think parenting and then also like finances or relationships. Those are like the three
no nos.
Gosh, they're just tough. You know, and. Like, I would never give you guys advice on finances, you know?
Please, give me some advice.
No, but I mean, it's just such a taboo kind of subject.
Okay. Call me later. I'll give you all you need.
Yeah. Unless you're handing out money. I don't really want your advice.
But, yeah, I just think those are tough ones.
They are.
Okay, well, let's hear from our listeners. Call us up and let us know if you've got any advice.
Okay, here's a question. Do you tell your friend if you think their spouse is unfaithful?
I was going to tell a friend of mine, but this was before they got married. And we ran into him at a restaurant with another woman when he was engaged. And I told him if he didn't tell her in the next couple of weeks, I was going to tell her. And then later he came to me and said, I'm not, I promise, it's not what you thought, and blah, 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 blah. And I thought about it, and then I decided not to. And they are very, very happily married and have been for like...
What's her name?
So, but if I saw... Yes, if it was infidelity in a marriage, I would be like, you need to,
really?
You need to tell her or I'm going to tell her. You've
would
got
you want to know,
week.
Sharon? Would you want to know if one of the divas saw your husband with his arm around somebody, would you want to know?
I'm thinking. Was she cute?
She was hot.
Yes. That is. But don't you think, let's say, okay, you tell me, Amy, mm-hmm. okay, you say, oh my gosh, Doug is such a hound dog. He's out with Buffy. And
Buffy.
And I confront Doug and he's like, oh my gosh, Sharon, Amy really wants me. And that's why she's, you know, and you do. I know you do.
I do. I always have.
Amy really wants me. And that's why she's, I mean, I just think.
You think he would say she's jealous of our relationship. She's trying to break us up.
Or she didn't understand. I can't believe she told you. Why are you friends? I mean, they have a way of twisting.
I've had that happen where I told a somebody.
So you'd rather instead just have me not say anything?
Yeah, but I want you to know I may think you want him. I just think when you do that, you run the risk of
not being believed, and then there's a wedge in the friendship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
How'd that happen? Yeah.
Okay.
I think you
on the record. On the record, me, Amy, if you saw my husband doing something. Yeah, with Buffy or Matilda or whomever, please let me know. I mean, I would want to know, and I would completely believe you guys, because why would you? I think
the best tactic is for me to take David and come to you and say right in front of your face, David, first, honest to God, I think it was a great thing to in my own behalf to say, you need to tell her or I'm going to tell her.
Yeah.
And or
that was
there,
very wise, Carrie.
Or you're there beside him in front of you saying, David, you know.
Yeah, but can you imagine getting in the middle of that?
I've been in the middle of that with that whole.
Okay, let me take it a step further. You suspect and you have seen evidence of suspect behavior. Do you put a lid on it?
I would want to know.
If it's Amy, I would tell her.
And I would tell you guys, because I think that's
Would you talk to the spouse first at all?
It depends on my relationship with that spouse.
Right.
You know, if I felt close enough to him or her or whatever, then yeah. But if the relationship was I was a better friend with the wife, which typically, you know, I mean, oftentimes that's the way. It's not like it's a.
Okay, but could you live with yourself if you're the straw that breaks the camel's back? They're having problems. You find out something else is going on.
It's not about me. It's about that relationship.
You seem like you've got experience with this. Come on.
I don't. I have a little bit of a... I have a little bit of a dilemma because I do know a couple things about Robin. No, I'm kidding.
I told you not to tell, Sharon.
I let you guys go on vacations and hotels with my husband.
By the way, I don't know many wives that would let their husbands go away with two other women, which Suzanne allowed Carrie and I to do.
It was awesome.
Did you spend? Oh, gosh, did we have fun.
It was great.
Robin.
Excellent. Take a little heat off me, girls. Help me out.
But seriously, that speaks volumes of your level of trust and commitment. And either that or you think Carrie and I are dogs.
Yeah.
Completely unattractive. Yeah, I'm kidding. Actually, we've probably driven Robin to the point of,
there ain't nothing sexy about us. Wait, get back to what you were saying. You've had experience where you've got...
No, I haven't had experience.
She knows something about one of our husbands.
No, it's not here.
Okay.
It is a good friend of mine, though. The husband just has suspect behavior at times. And so I question.
You know what? No, then I would let it go. If you don't know something, and I tell you what, this is my
unsure. If it's not here, if it's hearsay.
Yeah. And
if it's hearsay,
besides,
rumor.
On some level, she already knows.
Okay.
She already knows. It's very, very rare. It's very rare that when one partner is having an actual full-blown affair, that the other one doesn't know. On some level, the partner knows.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, then.
All right. Yeah. So many times, you know, in couples therapy, I'll ask the one, did you know your partner was cheating? And the partner will say, yeah, I wasn't ready to face it. But yeah, on a level, I knew.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll say no more. Robin, you're okay now. Okay.
Aye, aye, aye.
Well, let's
wrap up.
Yeah, let's call it a show.
I don't have a voicemail or an email, but I just wanted to shout out to a lovely woman by the name of, there it is, Supermom Times 3. She left us a wonderful review on iTunes. She gave us 5 stars.
Supermom.
Yeah, and it was really heartfelt, and I just wanted to thank her and thank all the Diva Sisters that have left us reviews on iTunes, because it means a lot
to
us. Yeah, thank you so
very
much.
Very helpful.
Great. And remember, you can reach us at thedivacast.com. And Amy, what are we closing with today?
Well, I thought we were going to do a voicemail. I thought we were going to listen to a voicemail from somebody.
Okay, that's...
Hey, Divas. This is Angela from Oregon. And I just wanted to say how much I love you guys. And I was wondering, I had a great idea. Can you guys put a playlist of all your music that you've had on all your shows, or just a mix, sort of best of, on iTunes, so that we Diva Sistas can download your mix and have all your songs on there. It's not so easy to find them on your website. I'm looking for them, but I can't find them. So maybe if there's just an easier link on your main page rather than going to each show archive, that would be good too. So thank you so much for your show. You guys do such a great job, and I love you all. Take care. Bye.
Aww.
Thank you,
Angela.
And the answer to that, Angela, is no.
And here's why.
Seriously. We cannot put everything on iTunes, and it's just some reason. And I don't know why, but you can find...
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed.
It's all
copyright.
It's all pod safe music, and it's against the rules of the way it's all done.
Robin, our producer, is going to tell you, Angela.
Robin, put the microphone to your face. Help us.
This is my premiere.
This is our sixth diva, Robin.
The sixth diva, yeah.
He's the man.
About the music. We are podcasters, so as part of the deal with the PodSafe Music Network, we get to promote all this music that you get to hear. We play it. We are not charged for it. It's free to us because we're promoting the artist. We'd like you to go to the PodSafe Music Network and download the music, and it'll cost you 99 cents. We cannot put it on the iTunes because we don't own the music. That would have to be from the artist to put it on iTunes. So we're merely playing the music, trying to promote it. You can go to the PodSafe Music Network and then download the music there for 99 cents a piece. We will put a link on the website that will take you to a list of all the music that we've played. Okay. Does that answer the question?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Robin.
Much better.
And I'm going to fade away.
Bye-bye. Okay, he's got a very sexy voice. He might have to start worrying.
Yeah, I know. Robin has a beautiful voice, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Lovely.
All right. Angela, so hopefully that answers your question as to why you will not find a list of our music on iTunes.
But thanks for the email anyway. And today we are closing with some PodSafe music from Jeff Smith. And this is called Not on the Radio. Just for you, Angela. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Yeah. See you next time.
Somebody told me you're in San Francisco. They said you're working in a box.
Yeah, a cubicle.
Somebody told me that you're not on top of the world. You're probably walking down the street with your earbuds jammed so deep in your ear.
Yeah, you're going deaf.
You probably found this little MP3 for free. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I could go. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? You should go and see them out in Cupertino. It's way cooler out there.
Yeah, I think so.
But maybe you just like it in your cozy little world. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I can let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Out in Wheeling, West Virginia, we can make it on our own, and we'll do it just fine. I can't afford your record, but it's out of sight. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this, but not for the radio. Hey now, switch off your radio, off your radio. Does anyone